Well, this morning I want to talk to you about turning weakness to strength. Heard about three pastors that met together to have prayer for one another, and one of them said, well, I think we should all share our faults with one another. And he said, I'll start first. He said, my weakness is that whenever I go out of town, I like to gamble. And I just go to the machines, and it's cha-ching, cha-ching. And the next one said, well, my weakness is that I hate working, and so I just get other pastors' messages and preach them as my own because I don't like to work. And then the third one said, well, my weakness is gossip, and I just can't wait to get out of here. Everybody has a weakness. The one who claims to have no weakness certainly has a weakness in the area of pride. You know, it's a common practice for employers to ask for applicants to list their strengths and weaknesses, and many times they'll ask for those who were put down as references to list the strengths and weaknesses of the applicant. But one applicant, after he listed a long list of weaknesses, he only listed one strength, and that was that he was able to admit his weaknesses. But we all have them. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, many times our greatest strengths are related to our weaknesses. There's a fine line sometimes between the two. See, there's a fine line between being a critical perfectionist and having a spirit of excellence. There's a fine line between being bullheaded and having perseverance. There's a fine line between loving justice and being legalistic and judgmental. There's a fine line between being merciful and being permissive. There's a fine line between being spontaneous, that's it, thank you, and being ill-prepared. There's a fine line between being laid back and easygoing and just being lazy. There's a fine line between having energy and drive and having no patience. Now, I kept saying it's a fine line, but really, I don't believe it's a fine line. I believe really the difference is the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit makes the difference in whether or not those seeming weaknesses in our life can also be a strength. Those areas that can be a strength can just be a weakness without the Holy Spirit. If we allow Him to work in us, He is able to take many of our weaknesses and turn them into strengths. You know, before his conversion, the Apostle Paul, then known as Saul, was a religious zealot that persecuted the church. After his conversion, that same zeal, that same passion, was then turned by the Holy Spirit to be used to build the church. In fact, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, he says, I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He says, I worked harder than all the rest. I labored more abundantly than they all. How was that? Because that same zeal, that same passion under the control of the Holy Spirit made this man a great soul winner, the apostle to the Gentiles. This was a man, you know, as you read the New Testament, nobody else other than Jesus Himself had such an impact on the world. Zeal. Zeal that was once used in the wrong way now has been turned into a strength. But it is God's power, it is God's grace working in us, it is His strength working in us that can turn our strengths or our weaknesses into strengths. Now, every weakness doesn't have a positive side. I want to say that very clearly. In fact, most of our weaknesses are not something that are just turned into strength, but it is as God works in us that the areas that we are weak in, we can become strong. The one who is undisciplined by the power of the Holy Spirit can suddenly become the most disciplined person that you know. the one who has wasted money and gotten themselves in debt, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they can become a good steward. They can become a great giver in the kingdom. How can that happen? The power of God at work in their weakness. The one who once went around dispensing judgment now dispenses mercy. The one who spread gossip becomes a prayer warrior. How can that happen? It is God turning our weakness into strength. I want you to realize this morning that ours is not a powerless religion. You see, some have a form of godliness, the Bible says, but they deny the power thereof. They got a form of religion, a form of godliness, but they don't really believe that God's power will truly change a life. They don't really believe that you can actually overcome your weaknesses, that your weaknesses can be turned into strengths. I want you to realize this morning that the one who does not treat you as your sins deserve, no, he's merciful. He also does not leave us in our sins, but he gives us the power to become the sons of God, to be partakers of his divine nature. Now, we all have weaknesses, and I just want to give you a short list this morning, all right? Because believe me, it's a long list. For some, it's anger. They got a short fuse. You never know when they're going to go off. In fact, just anything or nothing at all may set them off. In fact, this one is so common, there's usually at least one or two in every family. Now, quit elbowing people. It's just common. And if you drive down the highway, you'll see it. They call it road rage. But, you know, whether it's being a shaken fist or a raised voice or something that's just seething beneath the surface. There's so much anger. You see this weakness so prevalent and common in our society. For some, it's worry. People are anxious and fearful. There's no peace or joy in their life because they're always upset over something. For some, it is being critical, always judging others. For some, they're always down and depressed, always pessimistic. For some, their greatest weakness is pride. And that one is especially dangerous because many times when somebody has this weakness, this sin of pride in their life, it hinders them, inhibits them, and keeps them from acknowledging their weaknesses. For some, they struggle with lust, desires that are contrary to the Word of God. Their weakness can enslave them. Many become addicted to pornography because of this weakness. For some, it's a chemical escape from reality through drugs or alcohol, a weakness that they are prone to look to these chemicals to just escape from life and try to get away from their problems. For some, it's greed or covetousness. They always want what they don't have, and what they do have is never enough. They're never content with it. They always want something more. For some, it's an uncontrolled appetite. For some, it's lying. It's amazing to me how many times the Apostle Paul, in speaking to Christians, says, don't lie to each other. But it goes on. It's a weakness for a lot of people, trying to make themselves look better. For some, it's gossip. They always want that tasty little morsel. They always want that little inside story that I know something that y'all don't know. For some, it's that weakness to always be involved in gossip. For some, it's simply not being able to control their mouth. Now, the Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle the whole body. And then in verse 8 he says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No man can tame the tongue. So we just can't help it. No man can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. Listen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome that weakness. So many people in this world, they think before they speak. They say things they shouldn't say. How many marriages have been destroyed by somebody saying something they shouldn't have said? How many businesses have gone under because of the wrong things being said? How many relationships destroyed? How many ministries destroyed by something being said that shouldn't have been said? But all of that can be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man can't tame it, but the Holy Spirit can. For some, that weakness is envy. For some, it's always procrastinating, always putting off. They haven't learned to swallow the frog first. Now, I don't know where this comes from. I'm sure there's a story behind it, but I'm going to share this little principle with you. You know, the frog, swallowing the frog, refers to the thing that you hate. Now, you might have eaten frog legs, but I hope you haven't swallowed a whole frog. Nobody wants to swallow a frog. That's just gross. So the frog is symbolic. Swallowing the frog is symbolic of the things that's on your to-do list that you keep putting off because you don't want to do them. Well, to swallow the frog first means to just get it over with. You know, you can put it as the last thing on your list for the day and you can dread it all day, or maybe you can even put it on the end of the list to do on Friday afternoon so you can dread it all week. And hopefully when you get there, you got too much else to do so it gets moved to the next week and you do dread it all over again. But if you learn to just go ahead and put the frog, swallowing the frog first on the list and get it over with, you can enjoy the rest of your day. Well, for a lot of us, it's a weakness. We procrastinate. We put it off. And some, it's just lifestyle. Over and over and over, we're constantly putting things off that we know that we need to be doing. For some, there's some sin, some act of the flesh, some shortcoming in their life. You see, the list is endless. It just goes on and on and on. But here's the good news. He loves us just like we are. I enjoyed that worship song this morning. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. He does. He really does. He loves you just like you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. Now, before you go off and quote that scripture to all your friends, it's not a scripture, all right? But it is from the scripture. It is based on the scripture because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us that much. But He also loves us too much to just leave us as we are, for the Bible says that we are being conformed into the image of His dear Son. The Bible says that He who began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So He's not done with us. He's still working in us. And I believe God wants to do a work in each one of us here today through this word to turn your weakness into strength. You know, Jesus understands our weakness, and He is our example, as always. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He understands, He feels, and He knows what we're going through. He understands our weaknesses, our infirmities, and yet He Himself overcame. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet He was without sin. And through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, He lives inside of every believer. Every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit inside. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we also can overcome. We also can see our weaknesses turned into strength. We can experience the strength, the power of God in our lives personally, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. And as you're turning, let me just say that a lot of people get hung up on controversy in this passage of Scripture. It seems that the only thing that really matters to them in this passage is what the thorn in the flesh was that the Scripture refers to here. And I want to tell you, the thorn in the flesh is whatever your problem is, all right? So we just, you know, if we want to look at the Scripture by the letter of the law, we always find a way around it for ourselves. But the spirit of it is that wherever we have a weakness, wherever we have a problem, that God addresses that right here in this passage. So let's not get hung up on some religious controversy and doctrine and who says this and who says, no. What we need to see here is that there's something here for us. There is a powerful principle here from the Word of God that will set you free. I know it did the Apostle Paul. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul got set free here. He says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, here it is. He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I tell you, there's a lot of people here that need to get a hold of this morning. In your own weaknesses, your own frailties, your own needs, that the power of Christ will rest upon you. That when you are weak, then you are strong. Jesus told him that in his weakness, in his infirmity, that his power was made perfect. You see, God's power is evident. God's power is real in our weakness. It shows up and he makes us strong. Your weaknesses can be turned into strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, that sounds like so much double talk. Well, see, to the world, that's just foolishness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's a contradiction. You're just contradicting yourself. But no, Paul understood that in his weakness, God's power was available and evident to make him strong. In that very weakness, those areas where he had needs and problems, God's power showed up and made him strong. So what do we have to do to turn our weaknesses into strength? First, we need to admit our weakness. The Apostle Paul did. He went to the Lord over and over in prayer regarding this weakness. We need to, as the Bible says, confess our sins. We need to be willing to go to God and say, Lord, I'm having a problem in this area. Or Lord, there's a weakness in my personality or in my character. This is something that I struggle with, God. We need to admit where we need help. Second, we have to develop an absolute dependence upon God. That it is not our strength. That's not the answer. No, the answer is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not that I am going to do this or I can do it, but I can through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul was saying when he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's because the power of Christ rests upon us. And so, church, we have to have this utter dependence upon God. And in regard to our weakness, we have to know that in our own strength, we're not going to overcome. We're not going to turn it to a strength on our own. No, it is only the power of God at work in us. And we have to depend upon Him totally and completely. You see, it's as we walk in His strength, as we rely upon the Holy Spirit, that we overcome. See, we all have a sinful nature. The King James calls it the flesh. We all have a fleshly body, but we also have a sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. And every born-again believer also has a spirit. We all have a divine nature that we inherited from our Father. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that Holy Spirit inside of us is able to give us the strength that we need to turn our weakness into a strength. If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 16 all the way down through 23. 16 through 23, Galatians chapter 5. Everybody that wants to see a weakness turned to a strength, I tell you, this is for you. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Well, now, everybody understands that. Everybody can relate to that. We've all been there. The Spirit and the flesh are contrary. They are at odds with one another. They have different desires. They have a different purpose and goal in mind, and they pull against each other. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, that means whichever one of yours isn't listed here, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, all of those acts of the flesh are weaknesses. They are the weaknesses of the sinful flesh. But it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we look to God and we rely upon the Holy Spirit, He said, be led by the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, as we live in the Spirit, then we no longer have those acts of the flesh in our life, but instead the Holy Spirit produces this fruit, that those who have been selfish all of a sudden become loving. Those who have had a propensity to be down and depressed all the time now have the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about weaknesses that now are being turned into strengths. And how does this happen? As we rely upon the Lord and depend upon the Holy Spirit, we allow Him to lead and guide us. Then where we've had worry and anxieties and fears and stresses of all kinds, now we have peace. See, what was a weakness can be turned to a strength by the power of the Holy Spirit. Short-tempered, get easily irritated with people, no patience. All of a sudden, there's long-suffering. That person with the short fuse now is patient, bears with others, with the faults of others. The one who's been rough and gruff and abrasive becomes gentle and kind. Those that have been ornery and ugly become good. Those that have been unfaithful and disloyal become filled with faith and faithful. Those that are always demanding their way now become meek, yielding to others. See, meekness is not weakness like some people in the world think. Meekness means that though you could stand up and defend your rights, though you could demand to have your way, you yield. That you're willing to humble yourself and yield to someone else. Those with no control. Oh, how many weaknesses this one hits. No control, no discipline. So many unbridled passions and desires and things that people just are not able to control themselves. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You know, a lot of the time those things are not necessarily evil in and of themselves in moderation, but it is the excess that makes it a sin and makes it a weakness. But the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It is temperance. Church, I want you to see this morning, that the things in our life where we've had weakness by the power of the Holy Spirit as we rely and depend upon the Lord, that those very areas where we have been the weakest, we can become strong. Third, we got to believe. If you want to say, well, this is the way I am. This runs in my family. It's the way it has always been. It's the way it will always be. I've tried too many times and it's never going to change. Then you are condemning yourself to carry that weakness with you forever. You have to believe the Word of God. You got to believe you receive. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said it in Mark 11:24. I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. You got to believe you receive. And fourth, you need to speak it. Paul said, listen to me. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's what he said. Let me tell you something else he said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now listen, on the one hand, I told you, you got to admit your weakness to God, and you do. You need to be candid about it. You need to admit that you can't do it on your own, that you don't have it all together. You need to admit that you are utterly dependent upon Him, that you are looking to Him for any strength and power. It is not you. It's not I can do all things. It's I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you need to also, as much as you admit you have weakness, that you can't do it on your own, you need to boast in the Lord and say, I am strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, it's also in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Call those things that be not as though they were. Now listen, church, I don't believe that you can just say whatever you want and have it. I don't think that's Bible. I do believe that whatever you say with your mouth and believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, they shall come to pass. How do I believe that? Because that's what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Beginning in verse 22, he says, have faith in God. Church, we need to have faith. We're not doing this on our own. It's not in our own strength. It is in His strength, and we believe Him and trust Him. And he says, have faith in God, for assuredly, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It's when you truly believe from the heart and you speak it out from your mouth, you'll have what you say. Listen, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It is the power of Christ that rests in me, that rests upon me to overcome my weakness. How can we do these four things? Well, I'm going to tell you first, it has to begin with prayer. Now somebody's going to say, well, my weakness is I don't pray enough. Well, then you need to come to the altar this morning and agree with our prayer partners that that weakness is going to turn into a strength for you. You say, well, my weakness is I can't walk down to the front and in front of everybody. Well, then you find somebody after the service somewhere to pray with you. But you find a way. I tell you that wherever you are, whatever your weakness is, God will meet you if you'll look to Him and trust Him. But let me tell you this. You can only overcome weakness. You can only see weakness turned into strength through prayer, because it begins in prayer. That's how we admit our weakness to God. That is how we confess to Him that we need His help. That is how that we begin to depend upon Him. That's how we acknowledge our reliance upon the Lord, is that we go to Him in prayer and we ask for His help. And it's in prayer that we exercise our faith and believe. You see, you can believe something, but until you pray and you ask God and you believe for it now, it's just a dead faith. It's when we really believe and we ask for it in prayer. Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. And it's in prayer that we really believe, we receive, and then we shall have them. So I want to challenge and encourage you that, listen, you got to pray. You got to pray to confess it. You got to pray to depend upon God and let Him know that you are relying upon Him. And you got to pray to believe that you receive. And it's in prayer that we begin to speak out of our mouth what we have prayed about. You know, when Jesus called Lazarus forth from the tomb, He said, Father, I know that you have already heard me. He had already prayed about it, but he spoke it out loud. He said, I said this so that they might believe. Listen, church, when we really believe, when we have prayed and we really believe, then we need to speak it. That I was weak in this area, but now I'm strong. I used to be an alcoholic, but I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I've been set free. Come on now, we need to get this. You say, well, I used to have a bad temper, but by the grace and the power of God, I've been set free from that, and now I'm forgiving and long-suffering and patient with people. Whatever your weakness has been, you need to pray through until you believe, and then you need to speak it out of your mouth that by the power of God, where you're weak, now you're strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. It is that as you relying totally and completely upon the Lord's power, it's in prayer that our strength comes and our strength is renewed. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he gives power to the weak, to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, he's not just slamming young people here. The point is that those who seem to have strength in their own selves, they're going to fail. They're going to fall. It doesn't matter how talented and gifted, how much ability you have, it will fail. But God can renew your strength. Those that are depending upon the Lord have a limitless supply of strength. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is in prayer that our spirit is strengthened, that where we are weak, we become strong. You know, Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, watch and pray, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all know that, don't we? The spirit is willing. The spirit wants to do good. We read about that in Galatians chapter 5. The spirit wants to do good. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all experience that in our life on a daily basis, that our flesh is weak. It doesn't want to do what we need to do. Our spirit wants to, but the flesh is weak. And what does Jesus tell the disciples is the key here? He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, it's in prayer that we rely upon God, we depend upon him, and it's only through prayer that we are led by the Holy Spirit, that as Galatians chapter 5 says, we walk in the Spirit, we live by the Spirit. It's only as we are in continual prayer that we learn to be led by the Spirit, relying upon him and see our weakness turned to strength. Prayer. Next, you got to look to the Word of God. But for the Word of God, many times we would not even know what our weaknesses are. It is the Word of God that will speak to your heart, reveal what's in your heart. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will show you where you need to change. The Word of God will speak to your heart and your life and show you the areas of your life that don't line up with God's will. The areas of your life where you need God's strength and power to change you. The Word of God will speak to you and show you so that you can then acknowledge before God, you can confess before God, Lord, I'm missing in this area. Lord, I'm weak in this area. The Word of God will show you your need for utter dependence upon the Lord, to trust him totally. And now hear this. The Word of God will show you the promises of God that are for you. It's by these exceeding great and precious promises that we are partakers of his divine nature. It is the Word of God that will cause you to believe. Where you are weak and you have not been able to overcome, where you are weak, you have problems and shortcomings, and you say, well, I just can't win. I can't over. When you read the promises of the Word of God and you find out, I want to tell you, there's a promise in here for you. Well, Lord, I keep going the wrong direction. I keep doing wrong things. And How can a young man keep his way, keep his life pure? By living according to your word. You see, there's a promise in here for you. You're struggling with fear, and the Bible says, He's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't have to live in fear anymore. You get a hold of the promises of God. It is the word of God that will cause you to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is the word of God that we need to be confessing with our mouth. You see, I will boldly say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I will boldly say, I am strong, because the Lord said, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Listen, as I said a minute ago, I don't think you can just go saying anything and expect it to happen. But when you really believe what you're saying, when you line your words up with the word of God and you're speaking what God says, that word has power. And you begin to speak that over your own life. Quit confessing and claiming and holding on to your old faults and weaknesses and glorying in them. But instead, listen, it's as we acknowledge that we have weakness, but we glory in the Lord. We exalt Him. Now, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. Listen, Paul said, I will rather glory in my weakness, because that's exactly what he's saying, is that because then the power of Christ rests on me. So it's not about us rising above others and thinking we're better than anybody else. No, it is about God's power being upon our life. Now, there's a great example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In fact, you just go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And, you know, I can just relate to this so well. While you're turning there, let me just remind you who the Apostle Paul was. He was a man who had been schooled, a very educated man. By the standards of today, he would have had several degrees. Very educated man. A very religious man who, in the eyes of man, had much to brag about, both from a religious standpoint and an education standpoint. And yet, listen to what he says here. We'll just begin with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in power and boldness and... That's not what it says. Some of you need to bring your Bibles to make sure I'm telling it right, all right? I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear and trembling. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like my favorite preacher. He's scared, his knees are knocking, he's trembling, and he's in fear and weakness. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, he had that stuff. He had the education. He was a religious man. He had the background. And yet, he stood before them in weakness and fear and trembling. Why? Because it was the power of God that made the difference. You see, our human strengths and our human abilities just get in the way most of the time. It is God's power at work in our weakness. Some of you think, well, now, not everybody's called to be a preacher, all right? But I'm telling you, there are some people that think they could never preach because they're afraid. Well, then I'm going to have to quit. I've been at it for over 25 years, but I'd have to quit. Because I've been afraid many, many, many times. I just learned a long time ago that it's not about me. It's not about my strength or ability. It's not, or the lack thereof. It is about the Lord choosing to use who He wants to use. And let me tell you, when God uses you, it's His power, it's His ability upon you. You don't get the credit. He does. That's what Paul said. Let me read it one more time. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And church, we need to realize that applies to every area of our life. It's not about our strength. It is about His strength. It is about relying upon Him and trusting Him, depending upon Him. And we got to give all the glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29 says, "You see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." I'm tired of hearing about celebrities and big shots and how we need them in the church. No, we don't. We don't have to have them to get the gospel out. Y'all sure are quiet. I'm just telling the truth. Listen, God doesn't need the glory of man. He has not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise. It's not education. It's not somebody's celebrity status. None of that matters. No, it is the power of God. It is God who gets the glory and not some man, not some person. Boy, that's good preaching. Y'all be quiet. I hear about three of you, amen, and the rest of you are real quiet. I don't care if it rubs against the grain of what you've been hearing. It's the truth. We need to see that's not how God works. God doesn't allow man to... Well, let's just read it. He says, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world." Not the big shot. The base things of the world. "And the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Nobody's going to get the glory but God. It all belongs to Him. And that's why in our very weakness, His strength is perfected. And we can say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because it's God. It's all God then. Sometimes it takes us a long time to learn that. We struggle on and we try to do it ourselves. We grit our teeth. We can't win until we come to the place where we utterly depend upon God. And He is able to change us. But He'll not give His glory to another. Most people know the story of how Moses stood before the Lord at the burning bush. And he said, "I cannot speak." In fact, he went on and on with God so much so, he says, "I'm not eloquent. I can't go. Who am I? Why would they listen to me?" And he continued on and on so much so that the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because he kept saying he couldn't speak. But did you know that Acts chapter 7, verse 22 tells us that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty, listen to this, in words and deeds. He was schooled in all the ways of Egypt, and at 40 years old, he was mighty in words and deeds. See, most people don't realize that. They think that Moses was some guy that just didn't have much on the ball. No, that's not the case. This guy, brought up in Pharaoh's household, was educated by the best there was in Egypt, and he was mighty in words and deeds. But he also had a weakness. He had a problem with anger. And when he killed a man, and then found himself for 40 years on the backside of the desert. You talk about a long preparation. But when God spoke to him through that burning bush 40 years later, here was a man who was no longer arrogant, who was no longer self-assured, but he said, "Who am I?" You see, it was at this point that when he went, God was going to get all the glory. It was at this point, he wasn't dependent upon his education and his wisdom and his mighty words and deeds, but he was dependent totally upon God's power. And God got all the glory. And I want to tell you, in your own life, it is the same way. You know, God gets no glory where you, in your own natural ability, profess to be strong. I'm telling you, I'm grieved by the number of preachers and teachers that are going around saying that God just wants to take your strengths and use them. Listen, God's not impressed with your strength. He doesn't need your talents and abilities. I'm sorry, but you're not going to find that in the Scripture, that God has to have talented people to get the job done. What God wants to do is take the weak and the lowly and the despised, the foolish, and He empowers them to get the job done, and He gets the glory. God's not impressed with your strengths and your abilities, and neither are other people. Listen to me now. Other people are not going to be drawn to the Lord because you're good at something. But when you are weak in an area, and then God empowers you, and God uses you, and God blesses you, people see that, and they know that God is real in your life. Amen. Try to give an example here that I stumble on somebody's toes here, but maybe we pick on preachers. Preachers are easy target, aren't they? I guess I've already done that one. Let me tell you, if you're an accountant and you're really good at being an accountant and everybody knows it, you can give glory to God, and you should. You should direct all the attention to the Lord. But how much more when you're not really very good at something and yet God gives you an idea, God shows you how, God gives you strength where you didn't have it before. And you know, most of all, where you have had character problems and flaws and shortcomings and lackings and maybe even sins and acts of the flesh in your life, and now the power of God has changed you, and it's by the power of God and relying upon Him, you're living a new kind of life. I want to tell you something. Everybody notices that. Everybody sees that. Oh, that one that's always been a patient and kind person, people don't notice that much. But when you've been ugly, and the power of God gets a hold of you this week, and you change. But listen to me, this is real. Some of you have had some weaknesses in your life that have gone on for years and years and years. I'm telling you, by the power of God, you can overcome. That weakness can be turned to strength. God will show Himself mighty in your life if you'll confess it, depend upon Him, believe Him, and speak it out of your mouth. Begin to say, you know what, I'm not going to be that way any longer. I'm not going to be that person who can't ever talk about their faith. Y'all get so quiet sometimes. It is just like, drop a pen in here, somebody. That person who says, well, I'm just shy and I couldn't ever talk to somebody about the Lord. I had a man tell me this week, he's just really gotten on fire for the Lord and gotten excited about serving God. And he said, you know, used to, I didn't ever talk to anybody about my faith. I just kept it to myself. He said, but now I invite somebody new to church every single week. And see, some of you that one. Oh, I used to never. You can change. The power of God. See, it's not you. It's God's power in your weakness. You can change, and you can be the one that's bringing somebody every week. Amen. Well, stand with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you love us too much to leave us like we are. But you, just like we are, Lord, you are able to take us from where we are, Lord, and move us on to bigger and greater things and use us for your glory and your honor. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're at work in the heart and the life of the one who has struggled for years and years in a certain area. And Lord, you're alive and you're at work in these young people, Lord, who have so much before them. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. They won't have